live from Indianapolis, Indiana. Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Scott K. Nichols and State Farm Insurance. And now, here's your hosts, Brandon Reif and Jonathan Birdsong.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Crossroads Sports Radio, episode 203. We're here on a Wednesday, joining you twice this week. I'm your host, Brandon Reif. I'll be joined momentarily by my main man, Jonathan Birdsong. We've got a big show for you guys this evening. March Madness. The madness has somewhat begun last night, but regular March Madness will be starting tomorrow, high noon here in Indianapolis. And then we also got news and notes from the NFL we're going to hit on, a little bit of NBA and some baseball talk. JB, how are you, my guy?
I'm doing better than the Walmart. This current Walmart distribution center is currently on fire here in Plainfield. Other than that, man, you know, I hope. And all jokes aside, I know I shouldn't joke like that, but I hope everything and everybody kind of got out unharmed and whatnot. Because that's a serious. I don't know if it's going to ever make national news or anything like that, but it's a serious. It was a serious, like, you know, some borderline mushroom cloud that you can see from any parts on the west side, whether you was on. You know what I'm saying? But, no, other than that, man, you know, spring has sprung here in the Circle City. But prayers to the folks, you know what I'm saying? Not that Walmart's a sponsor or anything like that, you know what I'm saying? But, you know what I'm saying, prayers to those folks that are working there. And the firefighters, they're still fighting. They've been fighting that fire since, like, 1:30. You know what I'm saying? But not to be a downer. I'm just, you know what I'm saying, just giving the recount of, like, what's going on here in the Circle City, man. But, like, other than that, man, you know, spring has sprung here in the Circle City. And, yes, great. There's no more zero weather or snow. you know, in the foreseeable future.
Yeah, absolutely. I saw it today from downtown. Even it looked like I saw the huge cloud from downtown that way. Then I started looking it up on my phone what it was. So we've got fires, and I had to make sure. And we'll dive into the college. We'll talk some college basketball and everything. We'll talk that. But John, when I saw that smoke and everything, I also had to make sure that wasn't coming from West 56th Street.
because some of you fans,
what's this team done? I mean, hello, free agency has started. You talk about needing wide receivers. You need a quarterback. You need a tight end. Right now you spend about just as much money as I've spent this year on the Colts.
Well, right when we came on the call, there was a trade made, with the Raiders. Okay, man, you can't say ooh up to 10 sacks, man. Now, my guy that they got in Njoku, you know what I'm saying? Everybody knows, you know, certain regimes are going through, certain football teams are going through, you know what I'm saying, certain teams are going through a change in other guard, so to speak. So some of those long and two players that other teams might have had, they're not, you know what I'm saying, with new general managers and whatnot, they don't want. So I think, and it's not to make necessary excuses of anything for Chris Ballard, but again, man, because again, you're right. They do need to. You would have thought that, like, day one, and I think now we're on day three. Day one, they'd have been in the search of a wide receiver. Dipping their toes in that wide receiver tight end market. The thing about that, though, Brandon, and again, this is going to sound a little bit excusatory, is that the one you're still trying to address quarterback, right? So you can't necessarily put the cart before the horse. You know what I'm saying? When you need somebody to throw to a wide receiver, especially when the wide receiver contracts are usually incentive based, right? If I get X amount of yards or X amount of throws targeted to me, I get X amount of dollars back to put me on my contract. Well, right now the coach would still be starting Sam Ehlinger, who essentially would be a rookie, right? And quite honestly, I think there's some things in the works. You know what I'm saying? If it's believed or not that general manager Chris Ballard called the Houston Texans to see the potential availability and, like, what it would cost to get Deshaun Watson, because as everybody knows, smart marks know Deshaun Watson has a no trade clause. I think I'm assuming that not only has he already called, you know what I'm saying, about the Texans, he's already probably talked to the agents and the managers and whatnot of Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson would potentially want to come here, but again, the Texans put a kibosh on that because they don't want to see, you know what I'm saying, Deshaun Watson four times. Whenever he, you know, becomes active and able to play, they don't want to see him forward, and then have to be, you know what I'm saying, you be playing a revenge game every year, because there's definitely hurt feelings, right, between Deshaun Watson and that organization. So, but I mean, so again, okay, so like when you look at the And I, again, Brandon, you're the smartest of the smarts, right? When it comes to who's out there as far as free agency, man, some of these names in free agency, man, I'm just not necessarily, you know, how much are they? I mean, I look at it like how much are they going to cost, and then are they dinged up, and are they often an often injured player? Like you kind of you got to, as far as wide receivers are concerned, you kind of have to look at that. Landry, who you know, what I'm saying, out of Cleveland, was a name that kind of got thrown across my desk, and people asked me about interest. I'm like, man, can he stay healthy? Like, I don't think this organization wants to go through somebody that needs to be ramped up and we got to put in toilet paper and cotton balls, you know what I'm saying, to see if they're going to be able to play come game one or they're going to be able to play, you know what I'm saying, by game four. We are, you know what I'm saying, remember we went through the whole thing with the foot with Carson Wentz. And if you even go back to a little bit step further, you went when it was Andrew Luck 100% healthy, you know what I'm saying, when he had the lacerated kidney or when, you know what I'm saying, he was unsure if he was going to play or not, whatever, all those things. So, but, again, and I want to get to some of your thoughts on it. They have signed some of their own. You know what I'm saying, we all know Chris Ballard is a big guy on, you know what I'm saying, signing your own fridge that you have in-house. I think the evaluation process around, they kind of answered a part of their equation. Okay, we can't keep on crossing our fingers on Quiddy Pay, right? And I know they kind of play a different, you know what I'm saying? So, you know what I'm saying, Njoku comes in, you know what I'm saying, you trade out Arok Asin and you wish him well, you know what I'm saying? Half the season, people around here were trying to figure out, could Arok Asin play in the NFL, if anybody recalls, you know what I'm saying? So you address the need. They needed somebody who could rush the quarterback. Like I said, Njoku can do that. Is he good necessarily against the run? That you know, it's kind of question marks around that and him in tackling, you know what I'm saying, running backs. But he can, you know what I'm saying, in a 17-game season last year, he put up 10 sacks. And, you know what I'm saying, you don't necessarily plug those sacks, you know what I'm saying, scientifically right into what the Colts can do. But if he can at least get half, you know, even half of that, let's say 5.5, 6 sacks in a whole year, man, that's better than what we had. That's better than what the Colts had. Coming, you know what I'm saying, finishing last year. So I think, again, and I want you to chime in, I think the Colts are still evaluating, you know what I'm saying, their in-house free agents, and they don't want to overpay, you know what I'm saying? Okay, Brandon, think about it. Remember how the Pacers, I'm parallel now, right? Remember how the Pacers overpaid Roy Hibbert? Remember how Portland wanted to give Roy Hibbert $45 million? And the Pacers didn't, or no, it was 60 or something crazy, whatever it was. The Portland Trail Blazers really wanted Roy Hibbert to go alongside with LaMarcus Aldridge and whoever they had at the time. I think it might have been Rudy Gay at the time. And, you know, the Pacers was like, remember that there was that awkward time when we thought we was going to lose Roy Hibbert. Well, you know, the price kind of came down and things, you know, and the Pacers still technically overpaid for Roy Hibbert. And, you know, he played two good seasons for you, and then he took a dump. I think that's what the evaluation process is with some of these players, especially when you think about a guy like Zach Pascal and Xavier Rhodes and even Kamoko Touré. I think they don't want to necessarily – obviously these players' agents are negotiating with other teams to see what the market is for their you know what I'm saying, for their player. And I think if let's say Zach Pascal goes out and he can get, you know, I'm going to say $12 million per year from, let's say, I don't know, Seattle. You know what? God bless you. That's what everybody here better say, because there's no way the coach could pay him $12 million for what he's done. You know what I'm saying? Same thing with Xavier Rhodes, who's coming off pretty much somewhat of a down year, not even somewhat, a down year, to when he first came here. So again, you know what I'm saying, they're probably trying to just find the best, you know what I'm saying, deal for their client. But again, Chris Ballard ain't trying to overpay for any of his in-house guys. And I think Brandon, you know what I'm saying, as far as quarterback, he's trying to see like what dominoes are going to fall. So I don't know. I get the Baker Mayfields of the world. I get that, you know what I'm saying, folks kind of want to potentially kick the tires on that. You know what I'm saying? I get, you know what I'm saying, there's some other, you know what I'm saying, with my guy that got basically a couple other guys that got cut or whatever from this particular team that wide out. I get it, you know what I'm saying, or our free agents. I get it that, you know what I'm saying, you would want to bring them in. But, again, you know what I'm saying, you don't necessarily have the quarterback place just yet.
Here's my thing. Ballard talks about, and you even say yourself, he doesn't want to overspend. Okay, that's fine, Chris. But overspending as well is, so he talks about not wanting to spend A money on B players. But what he's been doing so far is paying B money to C players is what he's been doing. And the free agency is pretty much damn near done. It's getting close to being done and wrapped up. And the Colts are still sitting on their hands. Now, are they waiting for a cut? Are they waiting for a Jimmy G cut to possibly bring him in? Are they waiting on a possible Baker Mayfield cut to bring him in? I mean, are they trying to, it's, are they trying to work a trade? The free agency pool, Deshaun Watson obviously is not coming to Indianapolis. Houston already said, we ain't making that trade. It's looking more and more like it's either going to be Cleveland or it's going to be Atlanta, personally. And then if it goes to Atlanta, does Matt, do you bring a Matt Ryan in here? But at that point, are you telling Colts fans, hey, you know what? Bear with us for a couple more years because right now Matt Ryan's just going to be a placeholder. Bear with us right now because Baker Mayfield is going to be our placeholder. Or bear with us now because Jimmy G is our placeholder. Do you feel...
But Brandon, isn't that really what it is?
Just stick with the quarterback you got there. And just say, Carson Ellinger is our starter. And I'm sorry, Colts fans, but bear with it.
If you start Sam Ellinger, you guarantee yourself 4 to 5 wins. Now, I don't necessarily think they don't want – this ain't Philadelphia 76ers tank mode. This is not that. NFL still, you know what I'm saying, teams still want – at least for the first 6 weeks, where you at. Huh?
So how long as an organization do you need to wait to say, well, we're building. You keep trying to build this other team or this other positions and get yourself a quarterback. Jonathan Taylor is going to be 30 before long, and you ain't going to have anything to show for it.
Let me use some of what Colts fans kind of want or what you kind of suggesting. So what's the quarterback that left the Jets that went to the with the Carolina Panthers over year that everybody said, man, if he just had an offensive line, Sam Darnold, thank you. If he just had that, okay. Well, he had that. They started off real good. The Carolina Panthers did. And then they still brought in Cam Newton. They had to bring back Cam Newton, Brandon. You know what I'm saying? So, again, there's only – let's be honest. And everybody listen to me. You know, they're listening to this show right now. How many special quarterbacks are there really in the league? 6, 7? Maybe 7. That might be pushing. I'm saying now that Tom Brady's back, right? I'm saying maybe 7. So, unless – you know what I'm saying? You get one. If I put my general manager, you say 10?
10 quarterbacks.
You overselling that one, bro.
You only go through the names?
Yeah, go down the list of names. Remember, Ben Roethlisberger's gone. So you got to take him off the list.
So let's go AFC East. Josh Allen. Okay.
Special.
He was an MVP candidate. He's special. Okay.
Right. That's right.
Lamar Jackson.
Special.
MVP candidate. Okay.
MVP, yeah.
Joey Burrow.
Oh, definitely.
And, so there's two there. Patty Mahomes.
Come on, man. Future Hall of Famer.
Future Hall of Famer. Justin Herbert. I mean, he's going to be.
Herbert? I'm going to stop you right there. Look what they've just done for Justin Herbert. Just there. Now somebody finally, some general manager, some coach finally got their head out of their rear end and said, hey, man, you know what? We might have to put together a pretty good defense for our team to be a little bit better than what it was last year. Again, we can blame that head coach who I don't even mention the name, the boneheaded play, you know what I'm saying, calls he made down the line to cost that team, you know what I'm saying, games. But look at the trades they made. Look at the free agent talent that they brought in to make that defense. So then you got Nick Bosa and you got Khalil Mack together. That should be just like – so again, kind of prove my point. I'm not – if you want to go down the rest of the list, that's fine. But I'm saying until you get said quarterback, you can't just say, oh, man, let me go get Khalil Mack. Let me go get said Bosa. Let me go get X amount of whatever defensive player, X amount of whatever wide receiver, tight end to make my team
right.
better. And then come with Fitzpatrick, Mariota. That's, come on, man. Now, I mean, I would want – I mean, that's what's kind of going to be. Like, honestly, that's what's kind of – if you look at
the
– unless you wait and go and see what's in the draft, you know what I'm saying? That's what it's going to be as far as free agency is concerned. Go ahead.
With what I was going to say, with what draft picks? You ain't got a first pick, so you kind of pissed the bet on that already. But, yeah, to give my list,
so your first round
Josh
draft pick,
Allen.
So, right, so your first-round draft pick for this year is gone, but technically, you know what I'm saying, between what you hear about our guy from Pitt and even our guy from Cincinnati, they're probably maybe bottom of the first round, potentially for sure in the second round. And then
yeah.
it's still going to be a learning curve. It's still going to be a learning curve with those two particular quarterbacks. So what
yeah.
do you post? What do you do? Wait for your elite quarterback. And then, again, I'm saying, you know, me personally, I would spend the money just like everybody. Yeah, go get X amount. But then, you know, this wideouts, they don't want to play for nobody if they can't get the ball. The contract, it's performance based.
That's what I wanted to ask you. Is it more of us? Is it more of Badger just not wanting to not spending the money and not wanting to spend the money or whatnot, waiting? Or is it the fact, I'm sorry, Colts fans, this is going to be a tough pill to swallow. Maybe people don't want to come play in Indianapolis. I'd hate to. I'm not saying it's true. It could be a possibility.
Well, as far as the free agent, so okay, all right. Let's look at it like this, Brandon. Well, who are the free agent quarterbacks this year? With nobody other than Jimmy Garoppolo, who nobody again. You can't make that same mistake twice. And I'm saying Garoppolo's better than Carson Wentz, but you can't make that same mistake twice. He's too often injured. He might be better than Carson Wentz, but he is too often injured. He had an ankle 1 year. Now he's got a shoulder. You can't make that same mistake twice. Another free agent. Who else was a free agent? I think Aaron Rodgers wasn't a free agent. Okay?
Uh-huh.
Russell Wilson wasn't a free agent. I tell people this to the blue in the face. Well, you can't rub together two-thirds and get a Russell Wilson. Unfortunately. That's not how the world works. You know what I'm saying?
Let me ask you.
So again, you're waiting for basically for another domino to fall, a cut, or a potential Mariota to come in on the cheap, a potential Fitzpatrick to come in on the cheap, and then be your top-gap guy.
Yeah, so to finish up my list real quick, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Joey Burrow, Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert, Dak Prescott, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Matthew Stafford, Russell Wilson, and Kyler Murray. That's 11.
Kyler Murray, I can't believe you put Kyler Murray on the list. I'm about to fall out.
Well, he's last. He's last on the list.
I can't believe you put Kyler Murray on the list.
So let me go to your quarterback. So you talk about you want that stopgap. You stopgap quarterback. Let's just get it through. Colts fans, let's just eat a year, see what we got. Jonathan Taylor gets a year older. But by God, and I'm going to go through the list real quick, but by God, you know what we did. Colts fans, we forged ahead. We're banging the fucking anvil stuff. Guess what we did? Guess what? We went out. We brought back Reggie Wayne as a wide receiver coach. That's what we did this offseason just to get you in your seats. We brought back Reggie Wayne because he's going to do a hell of a lot on that football field. He's going to do a hell of a lot on that sideline. Yeah, sure he is. With what talent at wide receiver is he going to work with besides Michael Pittman? Go out,
well,
spend the money.
Again,
we're trying to bring
again,
back the homecoming king and just spend the money. By the way, WTHR, I'm going to call you out because you call Reggie Wayne the greatest Colts wide receiver of all time. That is absurd. Absurd. Greatest wide receiver Colts of all time is Marvin Harrison, bar none.
Brandon, I would say there's probably more depth of wide receiver in this draft than is in free agency. That's the reason why Dallas is comfortable with letting their starting wide out go. They're going to pick a wide out. I mean, you can guarantee it. They're gonna pick a wide out.
Who
imagine that? So, like, what good did that? I mean, again, I'm not. What good did that do the Houston Texans? I mean, I'm sorry, the Tennessee Titans. In the 1 year they traded, he didn't get cut. They traded for him. So you wasted. That was a bad move. Chris Ballard's not into. I get it that you know what I'm saying, jobs are on the line and people fans. But his job is to stay employed. And to make the best business decisions for the team. Again, I would try to go get whatever quarterback, free agent that they have.
Breaking news out of the NFL. Last time I had breaking news, it was something from Brady a week ago, or the other night. The news is, John, Von Miller is leaving the Rams. Von Miller signs a 6-year, $120 million deal with the Buffalo Bills. 6 years, $120 mil, Von Miller to the Buffalo Bills.
Brandon, he goes from one good sit to another, even an equally good situation.
The Bills are trying to get a better.
The Rams is in somewhat of a penny-pinching mode. Remember, they pushed again. This is what happens when you push all your chips to the table and you have to pay guys. Well, guess what? Von Miller's looking. He can go out there to play for free. So I'm not shocked. You know what I'm saying? But he didn't necessarily go to a horrible situation. Goes back to the Bills now. I mean, what's that going
to
look like for
as far as the Bills? They got to try to stop Patrick Mahomes and adding some defensive there to hopefully be able to stop that. I mean, they've got killed twice by him. John, I want to ask you this. As I was saying about the stopgap quarterback, I'm going to give you a list here of your top. Let me see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I'm going to give you your top 9 free agent quarterbacks going into next season. I'll tell you now, the list ain't that sexy either for next year.
Right.
So I don't know how many years you're waiting. So Jimmy G is a free agent next year. He'll probably re-sign with the Rams, if not retire. Okay?
Right.
He's 35 years old. Tom Brady, well, who knows what Tom Brady's going to do. If he's going to stay with Tampa or retire again. Here's a viable option. Derek Carr is a free agent next year. Kyler Murray, but he's looking for a new deal that they're probably going to give him. Baker Mayfield, new contract. Nick Foles, Sam Darnold, Teddy Bridgewater. That's not that sexy of a quarterback list going next season. If you look another year, if you still have your stopgap for 2 years, John, give me a second while it loads. Go ahead and talk quietly.
Well, listen, the Pittsburgh Steelers just showed us what stopgap is all about. Did they not? I'm sorry, man. Pittsburgh Steelers, you know what I'm saying, Trubisky will not
– believe in Mitch.
In 2024 will not be the starter. He might not – I mean, I think he beats out Mason Rudolph and Haskins, but he won't be the starter in 2024.
Your quarterbacks are Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins, Russell Wilson, Matt Ryan Tannehill, Joey Burrow, Kyler Murray, Tua, Trubisky, and Herbert.
Yeah, man. So
I think
again,
those are dumb enough. They may go out with Daniel Jones too.
Nah, if you pulled up that information, that's right there, good enough to tell you right there what's going to happen. C.J. Stroud, Bryce Young, okay, in the draft. Again, the Colts are going to try to win. But if they only win 7 games, or 6 games, whatever, you set yourself up back with your first round pick.
Don't tell Reggie this.
Say what now? Go ahead.
No, I said don't tell Reggie this because he wants to win every game.
I mean, I understand that. I get that. You know what I'm saying? Again, it's not. That's probably more than one plan. It has to be. You would think. You know what I'm saying? I think that they might – I think they're hoping that they get an opportunity to either draft Desmond Ridder from Cincinnati or potentially Kenny Pickett from Pitt. But, again, it's still going to be somewhat of a learning curve. If you can get one of those two guys, then my plan of C.J. Stroud and, you know, whoever else is coming out in the draft next year, that probably goes – you know, Jaden Daniels, whoever, that kind of goes out by the wayside unless those two dudes – let's say the Colts draft Desmond Ridder in the second round and him and Sam Ehlinger split, you know what I'm saying, a season, and the Colts still go, you know what I'm saying, 7. We still only win 7 games, right? 7-10, right? Guess what? You're still back in the lottery. And if you rate your quarterback that poorly, you're going to draft a quarterback regardless. Whether you need, you know what I'm saying, defensive end, a pass rush, another wide out or whatever, you're still going to draft another quarterback. So, I mean, again, they might be trying to, again, trying to patch up another quarterback. You know what I'm saying? Matt, man, Brandon, I about lost my mind. Somebody said Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan, with the numbers he put up last year, should have retired. So on this team, yeah, okay, maybe 10, 11 wins, maybe. But then, like I said, you're still back in the first round of the top of the first round and looking for another quarterback. So, you know, I'm just a realist when it comes to the position.
Looking ahead, I want to look at real quick my Pittsburgh Steelers, John. Obviously, we're changing the guard. Ben Roethlisberger retires. Look going in quarterback. You kind of look at Mason Rudolph and Dwayne Haskins on each side of it, and you're like, damn, what else we got, Coach? Looking out there, they go out pick up Mitchell Trubisky. Is it the sexy pick? No, not really. Is it a stopgap? Can Mitch be serviceable? Yeah. I like kind of how Mitch can kind of roll out and be more of a mobile quarterback with this offense. It's going to be something that we haven't seen with a mobile QB in a long time. Mason can't run. Obviously, Ben couldn't run. But Mason with Mitch be able to roll out, can Mitch chuck the ball? Hell yeah, he can chuck the ball down the field. Can he get it to the right players this time? Can he get it to the black and gold? Can he pass it to them? I don't mind the pickup. At least it shows that we're trying something. I better us try something than nothing, right? So I'm okay with Mitch Trubisky coming in. They're going to introduce him tomorrow. Surprisingly, the Steelers have spent some money this offseason already in free agency today. It's crazy. Offensive lineman, James Daniels, they spent $26.5 million. Offensive lineman, Mason Cole, $15 million. Offensive lineman, Chukwuma Okafor, $30 million. There's three offensive line right there, John. If that doesn't show you what our emphasis is on right now, hello. Cornerback, Levy Wallace, $8 million. Mitchell Trubisky, $14 million. And then today, an hour ago, they just went out and signed Miles Jack from Jacksonville. 2 years, $16 million. $8 million a year. Miles Jack. To help out the defense out. Which I think Miles Jack would be a great addition with the team. I know he's kind of, his numbers have slacked off a little bit, but I think he'll be. But they're spending some money, and I'm okay with Mitchell Trubisky pickup for a couple of years. What's the worst thing that can happen, right? We're in the same. His failure is probably the best of what Mason Rudolph would be, or Dwayne Haskins would give us. That's the way I look at it. So go out there. You're trying to play our contract.
Brandon, did they even tender Juju? So they spent all that money on the outside folks. So that Juju Schuster is sitting in the wind.
So apparently, I just read tonight that Juju. I read this at the stoplight on the way home while I was doing my research. Juju's market is drying up, from what they said. So there is a good possibility he'll come back to Pittsburgh again on the cheap.
Must talk. They're gonna have to. He's an awful loyal guy, then, man. Because you know what I'm saying, what wide receivers are making like between $16 and $17 million per year, and with somebody with, I know he had a down year last year, but somebody with his resume to command on the open market. Again, I get it that he likes playing a dual role, sort of, with that particular team. But
I think people are nervous about the injury. That's what I think they are.
That could be it too.
But what's your thoughts? I know you kind of talked in this is called a stopgap, but I said where I kind of like to see Mitch and where we're going with Mitch, and I'm okay with it. What was your thoughts when you saw Pittsburgh pick up Mitch?
Automatically assumed, told me that they were out of any type of conversation with Deshaun Watson as far as the Texans or what they wanted to shuttle over. Because again, they, you know, in order to break the bank from any position for Pittsburgh, you got to win something, right, for them. Not so that you was all pro here and all pro there. You got to win something. So for them to absorb Deshaun Watson's contract, ain't no telling what the Texans are going to offer. Well, I mean, ain't no telling what the asking price for him was probably something that Pittsburgh didn't want to get involved in. You know what I'm saying? I get it. They put out a statement saying, you know what I'm saying, they didn't, you know, at this time, they didn't want to, you know what I'm saying, bring Deshaun, that type of distraction or whatever into their organization. But this is an organization that's comfortable and I'm not saying they're willing, but they're comfortable and they're capable of dealing with, you know, off-the-field distractions. They have been, you know what I'm saying? I mean, that ain't, you know, that's nothing to knock anybody who went through any type of, ordeal off the field during that tenure as a Pittsburgh Steeler. It kind of just tells me, Brandon, they still got their draft pick. So let's say they pick Kenny Pickett at pick 20. You know what I'm saying? Then one of them other quarterbacks is probably, you know what I'm saying, it'll be open competition. One of them other quarterbacks may potentially even get cut, right? And you know what I'm saying, our guy even have to go to sit on the bench, Trubisky. You know what I'm saying? If, you know, if Kenny Pickett or whomever, I'm just throwing out a name, you know what I'm saying? But, yeah, I still think they, you know what I'm saying, they look at a quarterback. I still think, you know what I'm saying, Pittsburgh probably potentially deals with some depth issues at offensive line and even wideout. So,
yeah.
You know, they got Trubisky. It's not a bad pickup. Here's why it's not a bad pick. It would've been a bad pickup for the Colts fans because Colts people get a lot of Chicago media. And there's a lot of crossover in that fan base, believe it or not. I know you know, believe it or not. A lot of crossover between the Colts fans and Chicago Bears fans. So the news out of Chicago was Trubisky can't play. Well, Brandon, did he lose a game? I'm saying he didn't. I know you know. He didn't lose a game until he got pulled. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He got pulled. They were 4-0, and he, you know what I'm saying, was it a pretty 4-0? No, but it was 4-0, and then they were like, put the kid in. And again, so they put Trubisky in a peculiar, you know what I'm saying, situation. So, you know, I think it's a good I think it's a good pickup, a good signing.
He's 29-21. 29 wins, 21 losses in his career, 64% completion percentage, 64 touchdowns, 38. I mean,
but like, what's the news from an Indianapolis standpoint? What's the news out of Chicago about Trubisky? Oh my God, people automatically roll their eyes. So public perception, unfortunately, probably kept Trubisky from being even a thought here with the Colts.
Let me ask you this, and we'll take our call here.
Yeah.
Does an NFL team with the way the quarterback, and we've just talked about how the quarterback market looks. Does an NFL team reach out to Kaepernick?
Man, he's out there training, man. If anything does, man, that would show a lot of fact. And I don't know. It's going to be a lot of rust. You would have to expect that. But if any team, you know what I'm saying, allows him to come in and show what he has and participate in the training camp, he's going to have to, I mean, unfortunately, right or wrong, happy or sad, he's going to have to go through he's going to have to try to make a team. There's no walking on water, walking into an organization, you know what I'm saying, this ain't the Colin Kaepernick that used to flex, you know what I'm saying, that we remember, that was over 5 years ago, was it not? You know what I mean? So, from an organization standpoint, it would show some true sack if somebody even gave him a shot.
Okay. We'll take our call here. We got D-Top, what's going on?
Hey, gents, how's it going today?
Good. What you got?
Hey, man, I was trying to listen to the show the other day on the phone because my internet's messing up. So I knew you all wasn't going to probably be able to get to a call, so I missed out on some stuff. So I know you all are talking football, so I want to hit college hoops first really quick because I can't post on social media for 7 days. I'm in trouble. I want to speak to exactly what I did. But, Brandon, you and I were talking – At the beginning of the college season, when you laughed at the Mike Woodson pickup, and I said, listen, I'm not saying the guy's about to bring 10 national titles. I said to you, he brought three things that the three previous guys didn't bring: integrity, class, and experience. You remember I said that, right? And that was my only point, because some folks are saying, oh, you're trying to say he's going to win all these titles. No, but he just brings a level of respect and dignity to a basketball program that hasn't had it in well over 10 years. That was my only point I wanted to make on that, to clarify, because sometimes my words get a little taken out of context at times. So that's my feeling on that. I want to hear your take on that before I hit the quarterback circuit in the NFL.
I'll give you that. He does bring a little bit of class. The interview I had with Woodson at I asked him a few questions there at Mackey Arena a couple weeks ago. Very professional. question with that. Yeah, is it good to see a little bit of culture, culture coming back to Indiana? Is it good to see the fan base kind of get back up and going? Absolutely. It's good for this. It's good for the city. It's good for the state. It's good for the rivalry between the three or between the two. I just have, and this is not a not, this is a not directed to you, but this is directed toward Jonathan's biggest enemy, and we all know who that is. That man went on a radio show today and damn near talked about Indiana Hoosier basketball like they won the NCAA championship last night in that game. Did they
watch who you're talking about? I wonder who you're talking about.
did anybody watch that game? That was a rough game to watch. I mean, there was a lot of execution that did not happen in that game early. A lot of the plays it was sloppy. I don't know if it was nerve or whatnot, but my God, this guy went on a 15-minute rant to start his show today, and it was like they won the damn title. Relax. You know, before then, and it doesn't count as a game there, it ain't a tournament. All right? So now they're in the tournament. We're going to see what they can do. It's good for the rivalry. It's good for the Hoosiers. It's good for the state. I'm happy with them. Let's see what they can do. I just don't know with the Mike Woodson hire how long it was going to last officially, because it confused me. Because you're trying to build something for long term. Mike doesn't look like that long term guy. But they went out and got Dane Fife. So that kind of gives you a process to hand the reins over when Mike is finished to like a Dane Fife. So that's what I like.
Guys are idiots.
Okay.
And three foolish men, I put you right in that category.
Oh, Lord have mercy. But listen, to that point, and you know, Brandon, you make a good point, though. There are a lot of people that are you know, thinking, oh, here we go, national title time. No, not there, but it's a good start in the right direction.
Yep.
So now unwrapping the quarterback situation. Jonathan, you had a good point, too. The Chicago Bears and the Colts fans do cross over. And I've never heard anything positive about Mitch Trubisky, ever.
Right.
Even though it's a lot for Chicago. Yeah. 29-21 is just as Brandon said. I think the challenge is, man, we live on that recency bias, right? of what we've seen. And what they saw was this guy, Chicago goes up one spot and they give up three picks and something else and then two players or something along those lines. I think that's what people are seeing, right? Not being a Colts fan, I really could care less what they if he goes there or not. I don't think they're going to be good, very good anyway, because they're poorly run by the GM who kisses the media's butt to keep him off his head. It's catching up to him. It's absolutely catching up to him this season with the movie made with Carson Wentz. So yeah, absolutely, I have no problem with it. With you know Trubisky coming to Indy. Well, he's not now. Of course, he's in Pittsburgh. Right, Brandon? He's in Pittsburgh. But anyway, regardless, whoever they get, I don't think it really matters much, because I think they're a poorly run group, and it's just going to be a level of mediocrity that they're going to have. This is going to be six quarterbacks in 6 years. Tell me an organization has any type of realistic long-term success with 6-6, not named, you know, Alabama Crimson Tide in football. It doesn't happen in the NFL. So that's to me, that's their problem right there. These guys can cry all they want about, you know, we got this that much cap space and this. It doesn't matter how much, you know, cap space you got. What do you do with it, right? And then lastly, I'm all over the place. I got to talk about my Pacers, man.
Why?
Tough game last night. Well, because it's in my Pacers. That's why. Those still my boys.
That was a horrible game, man.
I don't blame it on one individual player.
We are past that. Did we win the trade versus Sacramento or whatever? I kind of don't like totally young teams, man. Be honest with you.
Well, you know what, Jonathan, that's a great point, and that's what I was going to say. I did after the season ended now, and where we would be looking at drafting. We're looking at, as a Pacers, the fifth pick, projected lottery, because you know how the balls go. Fifth, 19th, and 31st player pick. You've got that, and you've got a trailer piece Turner. So you can parlay that, those four, into something to a veteran deal, right? A man's man in the middle, and that type of thing. So if you look at Cleveland's record, more than likely that pick's going to wind up being 16 or 17. Their record, their schedule, because they've got a tough schedule coming up. They really
right.
do.
They've slipped. They kind of slipped. At one point before All-Star break, they were like as high as four. And now they've kind of slipped to like around six or seven.
Yeah. So you're talking complete league. You're talking today they're 19 to be the 19th pick. But I'm guessing probably 16 or 17 is where it's going to lay. Here's my problem, guys. We got the same damn front office that ruined it. We got to get rid of them first. Hell, man, we probably got the worst combined front office for our NFL and NBA team in the country. You tell me a worse decision-making group. I'm looking for. I don't know who they are.
Sacramento football team. I say them.
Sacramento's pretty bad. And
good point.
The current Houston administration ain't that great either, man. They let John Wall sit like the last 2 years, and he made $90 million. I need that job.
Yeah.
For real.
No kidding, right? But you follow what I'm saying, though, man? There's an opportunity, but you have to take advantage of it. And you can't say, well, we're going to go get Tyler Hansborough. Remember that, right? We can't do that. We can't do that. And I don't care how good the kid from Gonzaga is playing. I have nightmares about – No. You listen, I'm not going to Nebraska. What's the kid from Nebraska, Piakowski? I'm not doing that. I'm not doing this,
man.
Wow. No.
Oh, wow. You didn't call him Piakowski. Piakowski.
You're talking Tyler Piakowski, the kid from Duke who has the three brothers in the league. No, Plumlee. No, man. Glugu, Gaga, whatever his name is, he's still allergic to paint, and I can't wait for him to leave at the end of the season. He's playing hard now because he knows it's done. Glugu, Gaga, go. Go. So that's my rant. that's my rant. And of course, I'll be listening, but I'm telling you, if we got an opportunity in Pacer Nation, three of the first 31 picks, And a Turner who's healthy, we know that, which is a movable piece. There's some opportunity. Let's talk about GM. Who are we going to get to replace Pritchard, Bird, and the crew?
Because I wouldn't be surprised they extend Miles Turner. I'll be honest with you. I know we got time before free agency happens and all that, but I wouldn't be surprised they like Miles Turner for some odd reason, man. And it's beyond
reason. He's a good young man, but that's not good enough. Him being a good young man isn't enough to say, let me add three more years to your deal.
Right. I think they're going to keep him.
Wow. It'll be interesting. But we've got some flexibility. I hope they can take advantage of it, and I hope it starts with the ownership thing. You know, we've had our run here. Let's start fresh. So,
D-Cop, before I let you go, man, because you went around the board on that. Hey, man, you see LSU stole Jaden Daniels from Arizona State? Ain't that about nothing?
Hey, listen, let me tell you, right? It's funny you say that because when he was a freshman playing under Herb, I was Herm Edwards. I thought he was going to be the top player pick after his junior season. He looked promising as a freshman, right?
But
the challenge is,
you know what? Right. I know what you're going to say. The guy, he's just a good quarterback. If you can't, I tell you what, like, I thought it was interesting. I mean, I think LSU might have overpaid a little bit for him, whatever they promised him. You know what I'm saying? But he played in the in whatever bowl game they played against Wisconsin this year. And he just looked okay. But you can't You can't even, I mean, playing at Arizona State, playing underneath Herm, you can't light up in a down year in the Pac-12. You can't light them up.
That's a great point, Jonathan. Here's the other thing to think about. Listen, man, people knock Herm because he's a motivational guy. But I'm telling you, man, any of my sons can go play for Herm any day of the week, twice on Sunday. What makes a kid who had such a promising start to his career and didn't have a terrible season last season decide to leave? you know?
Man, I don't know, man. It had to
something's
be
there, Jonathan, right? Something's there, right?
Yeah.
Guess where he's going? He's going to the drama queen himself in LSU, a.k.a. Brian Scissor Stands himself.
Oh, man. I had to get it in, man.
Man, you know, because you know how I feel about that dude. That dude should never been allowed to coach after he did what he did, man. That was ridiculous. I mean, that's another story, another call. But you know what I'm
another
saying?
Another call. Right.
I can't wait.
Right.
I can't wait for Death Valley. I think the game is November 23rd. I like Jaden Daniels, but son, they're going to have to give you some help because you're going to be running for your life.
Yeah, probably.
And I look forward to it, man. Hey, I'm gonna listen to the call. To the show while I'm on my way to an undisclosed location out 74E. But again, I'll call. Jonathan, you owe me for sure. Don't forget, you owe me.
I got you, bud.
All right, listen. Hey, love the show, fellas. Let's go. Hoosiers. See if we can make it to the Sweet 16, right, Brandon?
Yeah, for the state.
All right, guys. Be safe. Love the show. Be safe, fellas.
Absolutely.
All right. That's D-Cott, our guy. Man, all over the place. I love it. John, I want to ask you. Hold on. I'm reading something. Okay. I thought we had some more breaking news. Let's go back. And I know some people may not have listened to our college basketball selection Sunday bracketology show that we did, but let's just say, you know, Tom Brady kind of took it over during the show. Tom Brady announces he's coming back. For our people, maybe not like, we might not like college basketball or so, and tunes us out during college basketball time or whatever, but just thinking about it now, a couple days even further now, Tom Brady is back with Tampa Bay. Unfinished business, whatever the hell that means.
Yeah, probably wanted to go out on top. I get it, Tom. Wanted to go out, you know what I'm saying, at least get to the Super Bowl. Probably wanted to win, you know. And they've done, since his retirement, they've done some tweaking of their roster. I still think they still got to figure out some more money for their defenses when it comes to, like, Ndamukong Suh and potentially even Gronkowski, because, again, he hasn't necessarily said anything one way or another what he's going to do. But that was shocking. You know what I'm saying? Tom couldn't wait another day to announce that he was coming out of retirement. You said it a couple shows ago that you thought that maybe he kind of sits around the house and, you know what I'm saying, does some things around the house and, you know, so get slowed down and, you know, then get that bug back into his, that was in the last 5 weeks, you know what I'm saying, before he was saying, oh, man, I'm coming back. So Tampa Bay left the door open for him. They never did get into any type of conversations to bring in Aaron Rodgers or Deshaun Watson or whomever to take over their quarterback reins. But they still got to figure out some things with their roster. You know what I'm saying, and get guys paid and see, you know what I'm saying, see if they're still interested in another run. This is still, you know what I'm saying, with Tom Brady, it's still super robust with him. He's not interested in going, you know, even 12-5 and getting the first round exit from the playoffs. So that's what I think when he says unfinished business. He wants to get back to the Super Bowl.
Okay. John, sorry, I was reading my email. It just came through from work. Hey, how about Kevin Durant the other night going throwing up 50 burger and then telling the Knicks, you're just a little too short. And then Kyrie comes out and throws up 60. Boy, if they ain't going to let Kyrie play at home, that's going to be a travesty.
I can't go with that. I mean, now we get into political conversations, man. I can't say that because that rule is not designated just for Kyrie. Now, I get it. That it's for Kyrie Irving.
How can the man sit courtside How can the man sit courtside 3 feet away from the players, and that's okay, but he can't be on the same damn court? Makes no sense.
They got fined $50,000 for him going into the locker room, Brandon. So again, a lot of boneheadedness on everybody's side. So he's trying to show up. So like, okay, who are you trying to show up? You trying to show you up the NBA, or are you trying to show up the mayor of mayor of New York City. Okay, so the mayor of New York City not only governs Kyrie Irving, he also governs the other 9,000 workers who didn't want to get the shot. Okay, so if you let Kyrie Irving play, then all those other people, like, you open up another Pandora's box. I think people don't see the bigger picture in this. You know what I'm saying? We can't have, okay, folks, you know what I'm saying? You open Pandora's box yourself, Brandon. You can't have people just doing whatever the hell they want to do. I get it, it's a free country, but things in New York are different than things here in Indianapolis versus things are in L.A., right? So I think at some point, though, if numbers do go down, you know, then he'll get to play. The playoffs run through June. Well, they're technically at the end of June. But again, man, the government of New York City, man, ain't into being bullied or into being, you know, whatever by the NBA or Kyrie Irving. That's not how they do business. They do their business by the science of what's going on in their community. I get it. He might have hurt feelings. I get it that he might feel some type of way, persecution, whatever, somebody, however you want to spin it. But that rule is not just for him. It's for all the workers of New York that refuse to be that refuse to take a vaccination shot.
How much do you believe in this Sixers team that they can win the NBA championship realistically?
Basically, the Nets and the Philadelphia Sixers, 76ers, traded away. It's an even trade. Is it not? You got a guy, right. I know. You got a guy. But, like, James Harden, can you trust him?
I don't think everybody's talking about the Sixers. Oh, they're NBA champions now. They're fine. I don't trust James Harden. I'm sorry.
Right. That's what I'm saying. You can't trust that. And this is like his calling card ever since Oklahoma. And it's still like that Manu Ginobili picked his pocket. I ain't forgot. Or the block. I ain't forgot. Or all you had to do was hit two shots to beat Golden State when Chris Paul was on the sideline. I haven't forgot. This dude, this baggage is going everywhere with him. You know what I'm saying? So can they navigate their way through a first-round opponent in Cleveland or – the Hornets, absolutely. Joel Embiid and him are too much of that. But if it gets to a nitty-gritty series against the Bucks or Miami, absolutely not. They will fold. He will fold. Joel might. And Joel is limited. Joel showed a little bit of immaturity too, you know what I'm saying, just a little bit. He's played at an MVP level the last two seasons. I get it, the Jokic won last year, but he's played at an MVP level the last two seasons. But in heated games where emotions run high, you have to understand that, if you listen to Joel, that you're the best player for your team. They need you not to, you know, so if you get down 12, all teams make a comeback or make a run. And you need to try to be like, man, you need to tell James Harden. It's crazy, Brandon. Like, you can't go on a five-game win streak and then play an elite team and then take a dump. Like, then people are not going to believe you. You see what I'm saying? So, no, I don't believe Philadelphia. But win a series or two, yeah, but if they have to play one of the top tier teams, Milwaukee or Miami, hell, even Chicago, I can't say Chicago, because Chicago technically don't have a winning record against the winning teams in the league. They've got a great record overall, but their record against, you know what I'm saying, playoff teams is not good. But in a seven game series against the Nets, I'm sorry, against a seven game series against the Heat or the Bucks, I couldn't trust Philadelphia, not at all.
Okay, I was curious because I was thinking about that the other day. They were talking about, you know, how ESPN loves to just piggyback on whoever's a favorite right now and everything. And
of course,
they were just talking about them to the finals, them to the championship. James Harden's the answer, and I'm like, is he really the answer? Because I don't believe it. I can't trust him. Like you said, I don't forget. So I was just curious on you, and I figured you had a good response for that. Lakers, we're just packing it in.
Lakers are playing themselves into a 10 spot to where they got they'll be, you know, saying, in that playoff play-in situation. I mean, they're not – you have to commend it a little bit. The fact that LeBron hasn't decided, or the Lakers organization hasn't decided just to sit him down and let things go. You know what I'm saying? You know, the fandom out there is too heavy anyway, man. That would be like that. You can't do that. You know what I'm saying? That's what the Clippers do. You know what I'm saying? You know, somebody, you know, the Lakers are about, you know what I'm saying, you go, even if, you know what I'm saying, even if, you know what I'm saying, you're not in, you know what I'm saying, top seed and you still got a chance, then, you know what I'm saying, you put your best product out there. So LeBron is still capable enough to average 30. He's just not capable enough that his 30 points can carry over to, you know what I'm saying, 10, 11 wins, you know what I'm saying, streaks, that was something that they would need like yesterday. So it's unfortunate, right? Everybody kind of, you know what I'm saying, you get that. Yeah, man, we told you that your team was too old. Yeah, we told you, you know what I'm saying, that you know what I'm saying, AD was going to fall apart on you. You know what I'm saying? So this is what happens when, you know, you trade away the future, you know what I'm saying, however what you think what the future might be. I be honest with you, Brandon, like the AD thing is a downer, because, you know what I'm saying, he was supposed to be the guy that they kind of passed the torch to. Now, was there a better trade? When you look at the trade that brought Westbrook in for the pieces that they traded out for, you know, I would say yes. If you really wasn't happy, which the Lakers couldn't have been happy at the end of last year when they lost to Phoenix, they couldn't have been happy with Kyle Kuzma. He was shooting at the side of the backboard. They couldn't have been happy with Harrell. Harrell was a sixth man of the year like three seasons ago, and guess what? What's his last name?
Harrell.
Montrez, whatever. Montrez, Harrell, whatever. I'm sorry.
I was so confused at first. What the hell are you talking about?
I'm sorry. I should have said Montrez. So, yeah.
It's all right.
Dude, they traded him away during – nobody even noticed. They traded him to Washington, traded him away because they know he can't play. You know what I'm saying? He's the undersized center, power forward, that doesn't have a jump shot. You know what I'm saying? Again, there was probably a better trade if you were wanting to look to upgrade the team out there. Probably should have kept Caruso too, right? He was an energy guy for you. He signed with Chicago basically over $2 or $3 million difference. You know what I'm saying? He wanted to be a Laker. You know what I'm saying? But again, you know what I'm saying? Lakers were looking for a spark, and they thought they could get it in Westbrook. And again, Westbrook is kind of a shell of himself. I just don't think the pieces fit. Him and LeBron aren't a good match together. They do too much of the same thing. You know what I'm saying? Need the ball too much in their hands. So, is there a way out of this in the offseason? Potentially, you know what I'm saying? There's a lot of cap space that they will get because of a lot of those older guys that everybody kind of made fun of are on 1-year deals. You know what I'm saying? But who can you bring in to kind of right this ship to get LeBron, you know what I'm saying, to get the team back to an elite level? I don't know if that's potentially out there. Can they get back to a better level? Yeah, but elite level, I don't know. So, but as far as this year, like, they'll be flowed between 9 and 10 seed and playing in a play-in game, unfortunately.
Okay. I've always liked doing this, and we're going to start doing this starting this week until the NBA draft. John, I've got the tankathon up. The tankathon. I'm going to do a draft lottery simulation to see where our Pacers are at. So we're going to do this every show now, leading up to it. So we're going to
with the next pick.
So with the seventh pick, we dropped in our draft. With the seventh pick in the 2022 NBA draft, the Indiana Pacers select Keegan Murray from Iowa.
Oh boy. Oh boy. Now, anybody watch Keegan Murray, man? He's like you kind of got to like him. He can play both forward spots, potentially in an NBA level. He got a nice outside stroke. Doesn't necessarily always need the ball, you know what I'm saying, to be the drive. You know, like I said, he's usually coming off screens, right, or they find him in the corner. But he is clutch, and he is young. And like I said, he goes about 6'7", right? I would not be mad at that at all. The Pacers do need another big, you know what I'm saying? He don't necessarily get after it enough for me necessarily. I mean, if I have the one knock against him, he doesn't necessarily get after it enough for me offensively, but he does. I'm not offensive boards, but he does But he does. But he does rebound. He does offensive rebound well, if that makes sense. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
In clutch situations. So I wouldn't be mad at Keegan Murray if the Pacers are wound up with him. Again, like I said, he's going to be probably – I can't really give you an NBA comparison per se. But like I said, you know what I'm saying, great outside shot on that kid. Goes by 6'7", going to be able to play both power forward spots. And like I said, he's got a lot of heart, got a good motor.
Okay. And I've got on more. So we'll get more. We're going to give him more. One more draft, mock draft. Here we go. Mock draft's going. It's going. With the fourth pick in the 2022 NBA draft, the Indiana Pacers select Jaden Purdue University.
Man.
Pipe dream.
That kind of puts an overcrowded backcourt now, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
6'4", 200 pounds.
Yeah, but he's a little bit of a tweener, isn't he? Right, point guard, shoot guard, keep a little bit of a
tweener.
Would
you rather have Jake Griffin from Duke, 6'6", 220, instead of 6'4", 200? A.J. Griffin? No, A.J. Griffin.
I don't know if A.J. Griffin is worthy to draft that high.
He scares me. He reminds me of Winslow that we had, Justice Winslow? He reminds me of him.
Okay. It's a little bit bigger. It took Justice Winslow time to find his game. I think he's starting. I think Justice Winslow's starting right now in Portland. But, again, Portland is on the tank of time to damn self. But I wouldn't be mad at that. Pacers do got to pick a forward. I will say that. Pacers got to find, you know what I'm saying, a forward, maybe even a potential center. Chet Holmgren, if the Pacers do pick Chet Holmgren, let's say Chet Holmgren falls to like 3 or 4, for Chet Holmgren, he would need to play, you know what I'm saying, I don't know how many games in the G League before we would call him up. He's got to get some weight on him. He's got to get some muscles on him, you know what I'm saying, before he can start banging with grown men. Yeah, that's how I look at that. But Jaden Ivey wouldn't necessarily be a bad pick, but then that kind of makes things real crowded as far as the Pacers' backcourt is concerned.
Okay. So we'll do that next show as well. We'll give another tankathon simulation. We'll see who the Pacers have. So Keegan from Iowa. We got Ivy from Purdue. So we'll see as we get closer. We'll keep doing these mocks. We love it. We love it every time. John, MLB, they've ended the lockout. Thank God. We're only going to miss a little bit of the beginning of the season. Not too much.
Right.
Free agency was a huge, huge, huge piece that instantly started. A lot of pieces are being moved. Rizzo's back with the Yankees. Freddie Freeman's leaving Atlanta. He's a free agent. Kershaw's back with the Dodgers. My Cincinnati Reds are trading and getting rid of everybody. It's a damn wholesale.
That's what I was going to say, man. When we get Coach Mike Fleck back on, we got to ask
a
him from Boston. When we get Coach Fleck back on, man, I know. I seen your little, you know what I'm saying, your little tirade on Twitter the other night, man. Why are they – I mean, they were – they're tiptoeing around, making the playoffs, maybe, last couple of few seasons, and now they said, they're tired of that building. Now they're back to, they're essentially going to be a farm team.
Yep. I don't understand it. You try to – the GM comes out today and says, well, we're just trying to get below the budget and still stay competitive. You just traded one of your top pitchers, Sonny Gray. Hello, there's a problem there. Castano's not coming back. Nobody wants to play for this team. This organization is becoming a joke of a franchise, and they tease the fan base way too long. And I don't know what I've done. I feel like, John, I am in the doldrums right now of a sports fan, because My Reds suck. My Pacers suck. My Steelers are going to suck. I don't have very much goodness going on sports-wise. I kind of feel like a Cleveland fan now.
Well, let's think about that. Let's go back to that. I mean, I know we're supposed to be talking baseball. The Pittsburgh Steelers, like, there's so much uncertainty right now in the Cleveland Browns that I don't necessarily think the Pittsburgh Steelers are the worst team going to the AFC North next year. Browns,
yeah.
Like, again, with Baker Mayfield's goodbye letter on Twitter.
What
you
do
know,
you think? Them saying they want an adult as their quarterback.
Say what now?
What do you
right.
think of the Browns coming out today saying they wanted an adult? I was like, what the hell?
Man, this breakup is done. So he got wind of it. Them talking again, man. I don't know. He has to. He's also the same guy that said that social media is toxic, but he would still be on there tweeting and Instagramming and everything else. Right. Right. If social media is so toxic, why do you consistently find yourself being on there? What he needs is some earmuffs, right? Like, you know, say they had, like Vince Vaughn had, told his little son that, whatever movie was that? Can't remember. Anyway, earmuffs. Get you some earmuffs and kind of block all the noise out, right? And just play better. So don't worry about what Odell's dad said. Don't worry about what Odell said. Landry didn't necessarily say any nice things on his way out about, you know, saying getting the ball or whatnot, you know. But, you know, I guess the pressure and listening to what, you know, social media says and probably what ESPN and Fox Sports says about him, it's kind of getting to him, you know. So there you go. And now the Cleveland Browns are again, I don't know, man. They're not necessarily making their case. So he's number one overall pick, dude. Number one overall pick,
yeah.
And him and his team are now feuding through statements in the press and on social media. So, like, if you were trying to get max money or max contracts back in return for Baker Mayfield, because make no mistake, man, Baker Mayfield is not in the top 10 of the other quarterbacks you just repressed. We can say, though, arguably, he's in the top, drum roll, 17 or so. He's second tier. He can play some games. He did play in the AFC. They played the Kansas City Chiefs to a standstill, if we remember, two seasons ago. But he does have some shortcomings. He does have also some emotional shortcomings when it comes to, you know what I'm saying, making it all about leaving everything on the field and not worrying about what somebody said to you. So I know you know what I'm saying, folks are around here because you know what I'm saying, Coast Country is quarterback hungry, right? Coast Country is quarterback hungry. I know it wasn't necessarily a hell no from. It was a no for me. It wasn't necessarily a hell no, because, dude, if Cleveland says, "Yo, we'll give you a four," I mean, you know, we'll give you if you give us a fourth round draft pick for Baker Mayfield or even a third, I might have to think about it. It's still technically stopgap because Baker's on. He's looking for a long time contract, big time contract, but they can't. Cleveland Browns are not looking to wanting to pay him over the $20 million threshold. He's looking for $30, $40 million, and I don't think anybody's going to pay him that.
Right. Okay. Chris Bryant, back to baseball. Chris Bryant has signed a seven-year, $182 million deal with the Colorado Rockies. The Rockies are the most confusing franchise. They went out and spent money on Schwarber. They went out and spent a seven-year, $182 million deal on Chris Bryant, but yet they just let Nolan Arenado go last year over $50 million. Makes no sense. You won't spend the money on Arenado, but you're going to bring in Chris Bryant and Josh Schwarber for that type of money. So a little confusing there, but baseball is back. I love seeing it. John, Ball State basketball has fired their head coach, Whitman, out at Ball State. The search committee.
Yep.
The next coach. I see somebody on Twitter was wanting Bonzi.
I saw that too. I don't know if Bonzi's got the patience for college. I mean, I know he likes basketball. I know he likes Ball State basketball and wants to see the program get back to a semblance of like where of winning to where it was when he played, and even, you know, saying some of the years, even in Whitford's era, when, you know, so he's been there for 9 years, but they only had two winning seasons, man. You know, so the university kind of had their hands tied, but, like, they had to make a change, you know. There's already some kids in the portal, unfortunately, that kind of goes with the territory when a coach, you know what I'm saying, leaves or whatever. But I hope that Ball State has a not necessarily a great tradition, but it has a good tradition, especially around here in Indiana, for basketball and a basketball program. I hope they make a commitment to bring in a coach that can bring in the kind of players that can compete. Okay, again, you're not going to get you a Fab Five, right, to come to Ball State type, you know what I'm saying? But you know what I'm saying? You can get you two, maybe one McDonald's All-American kind of guy, maybe a couple of Indiana All-Stars, you know what I'm saying? I'm not saying necessarily a couple of was buried with Whitford, but, again, not necessarily – definitely in the last couple of seasons, not necessarily where the you know what I'm saying, the university heads and the fans, especially them, wanted the program to be going, so the change had to be made. Again, I don't know. On my wish list, you know what I'm saying, I'll throw out Mike Lewis, right, because he has Indiana Hoosier, Indiana State ties, right? I don't necessarily think it would be Mike Lewis, right? But, you know, somebody like that, somebody who's been a long-time assistant that is wanting to get their chance at a head coach job, that's what I would hope to see come to Ball State.
Okay. John, I want to give a shout-out to my local high school, my old high school, Carroll High School. Carroll High School, a little small school, John, 2A school. 2 weekends ago, they won sectionals, went to the regional this past weekend over LaPel. They won the first game pretty easily. Then they went to the second game, the regional championship Saturday night. They took on undefeated number one team in class 2A state, Monroe Central. They beat them by 21. Carroll is now in the semi-state, first time ever school history. They are in the semi-state up in Elkhart, Indiana this Saturday. If they win this one, they will be going to the state finals. So I want to give a shout out to them, Coach Bodie Bender, and the Carroll Cougars. It was great to be back the last 2 weekends and watch them play. I won't be able to be there this Saturday, but hopefully I can see you guys in 2 weeks when you guys make a run for state. So looking for a little small school, John. It was great to head back. The school was heading back home on the bus, and the police department, the fire department all brought him in, lights and sirens, whole thing. You know, the old Hoosier style. That team plays with a lot of intensity. Great defense. There's no selfishness on that team. And, I mean, they're 24-1 this year, and everybody's really bought into the system. Knocked off the number one team in the state last week. So, and they didn't just beat them barely. They beat them by 21, played their style. So shout out to the Carroll Cougars this Saturday up in Elkhart. So, what else do you have, John? I don't have much left. I was kind of running late from work today. So, but I did have a little bit. I know we got the NCAA tournament starting. We got 2 games tonight, and then tomorrow the big boys start.
Yeah. A couple playing games tonight. Also, man, you know, before we leave tonight, man, I got to ask you, man, your thoughts around, you know, as we do cover professional wrestling here, your thoughts around Scott Hall and his passing. Just give you some of your fine thoughts. I mean, I'm pretty sure my thoughts to Scott Hall, because I'm a little bit older, I know him. I knew him before he was Razor Ramon, and you know, so I knew him in the AWA years when the American Wrestling Association used to come on ESPN. Like, nah, man, you know what I'm saying? Scott Hall passed away, unfortunately, complications with a hip surgery, right? He had a three heart attacks during that particular, you know, during that surgery, and, you know what I'm saying, went to a coma, went on life support, and unfortunately, you know what I mean, didn't come off of it. So rest in peace, obviously, to Scott Hall. My favorite, of course, the ladder. Everybody going to say the ladder match with him and Shawn Michaels, of course, man, but had some great feuds with Bret Hart. Great feuds with Shawn Michaels, the 1-2-3 kid, you know, which everybody knows is maybe at 6. Like I said, man, I seen him, man, maybe like back in 19, I'm dating myself now, man. The first time I seen him back in 1986, 87. Uh-oh. You know what I'm saying? Right. On when ESPN showed All-American Wrestling. You know what I'm saying? He was, you know what I'm saying, didn't necessarily have the character that he had when he became, you know what I'm saying, Razor Ramon. Or even, you know, saying the deal with NWO, but you saw that he had it. You know what I'm saying? That's why he got consistent bookings between the AWA in World Championship Wrestling. You know what I'm saying? But no, man, what's some of your what's some of your thoughts about Scott Hall? Because I know you're more of a WWF fan than probably I am. In that era, he was what, in the Attitude Era, right? When he, you know what I'm saying, gained a lot of he predated the Attitude Era. But no, man, what's some of your thoughts about Scott Hall?
Hey, yo. I got to start with that, right? You got to start with the hey, yo. Cruising with Machismo, Scott Hall, Razor Ramon, larger-than-life character. I'll say it like that. The guy played the role perfectly. When he came to WWF back in the day, after he left NWA and WCW, is that where he was? That's where he was at.
He left NWA, WCW. He was a Diamond Stud.
Yep.
That's right. Being managed by Diamond Dallas Page at that time,
So coming into the WWF, he kind of had a tag team run there with Ric Flair early, and they kind of took on the Ultimate Warrior, Macho and Randy Savage in 92 Survivor Series. And then he had his own little singles run. He brought Bret Hart for the title in 93 at Royal Rumble. And then Razor, he got his – that was his first title match. Then he got his run as the IC. I remember the big, huge battle he had. He had a battle royal he won on Monday Night Raw, got to fight Rick Martel for the Intercontinental title. The double belts with Shawn Michaels. That was after Shawn Michaels, you know, kind of left with the title. And then they gave another title, which brought up the ladder match, which was great. The match with X-Pac or 1-2-3 Kid, I thought that was a great one. As well as my biggest memory, besides the rivalry you have with Bret Hart in 93 with the Royal Rumble and also the first round of the King of the Ring tournament that year, was him jumping ship to WCW and, my God, starting the NWO. Kind of that run. And with him, Hogan, Hall, and Nash, those three, I mean, it speaks for themselves, you know, all of them Hall of Famers. And just kind of how they revolutionized professional wrestling at a time where it needed a little bit of a change. WCW wasn't doing anything too, too great back then at that point. WWF wasn't doing anything too, too great at that point. Insert them into this. I thought it was great. It's sad. It was sad to see him die the way he did. I was telling somebody I would rather see. I don't want to see anybody die, obviously, but for him to pass this way, it's a lot better than what it could have been with him possibly being found in a hotel room with drugs or alcohol with the demons that he had previously.
He's got what he talks about his demons. Yeah, for sure.
Exactly. So. It's sad that he went out this way, but it's better than what the alternative could have been. I Hall of Fame speech. I was glad he was able to get in the Hall of Fame. I was glad they were able to kind of go back and relive some of the Hall of Fame speech that he had. He was able to get acknowledged for those things. It won't be the same again. Absolutely. And you talk about memories. I still have a memory of him after they jumped ship and Jim Ross went out and got the fake Diesel and fake Razor. You know, it's funny. I watched the video just the other day of Scott Hall watching fake Razor. And he said he never met the guy. And ironically, that guy that played Razor, he passed away a year ago himself in 2020. Wow. But he never met the guy, but he wanted to thank him because he's what helped him get his multi-million dollar contract. So, but yeah, Scott Hall, plenty of demons and stuff, but he turned his life around, which was good to see. And, he oozed the machismo of the character. I thought he played it well. Razor Ramon's one of my favorite wrestlers, John, to never win the world heavyweight title.
Right. It's interesting. I'm glad you brought up the Nitro. When he showed up, this is before internet dirt sheets and everybody knew somebody was already going to jump ship and show up on the first Nitro. Everybody remembers Lex Luger showed up and, you know, basically, you know, since Stonewall Raw. Right. But there had been time in between where, you know what I'm saying, you know, WCW was pulling up talent from ECW or whatever. And they maybe you get another, like, maybe not say a big name, you get somebody come over from WWE or whatever. But him and Scott first and then Kevin Nash, when he showed up, it was like, go back. I encourage you I know you remember, but I encourage you and everybody listening, go back and look at that clip. They're on WWE's website or on YouTube. That arena got so quiet when he showed up because, like, they couldn't believe that Razor Ramon, Scott Hall, was on Nitro, and you could – I mean, it's almost like Roddy – I mean, not Roddy, but Bobby Heenan and Bischoff. I mean, of course, they played it up, but you could almost hear a pin drop in that arena because he was like, yo, he was calling out everybody and said, where's the Nacho Man at? You know what I'm saying? It was great. And it was like I said, we all know wrestling is predetermined, right, sport or whatever, but the guys do – take, you know, huge risks and huge bumps with their life and their bodies. But the sense of realism that they had during that moment, I don't think, you know what I'm saying, has ever – I mean, there's nothing like that going on right now, for sure. But again, man, rest in peace to Scott Hall, one of the all-time greats, whether, you know what I'm saying, I get it, he didn't win a world championship, but he won a whole bunch of other titles along the way and, you know what I'm saying, created a whole bunch of memories that I myself will never forget.
Yep, well said. I don't have anything else. I mean, Stone Cold's coming back to fight Kevin Owens, which we'll see kind of what happens with that. And it appears, John, from watching the way Raw ended, I had some facts that Cody Rhodes was supposed to debut at the end of Raw, and they pulled it last minute because of the Scott Hall situation. But they hinted at the end that smoke and mirrors were shattered because Seth Rollins isn't going to WrestleMania at the end. That was said before they went off the air, which if you know Cody's old theme song for wrestling, WWE, was, whoa, you're only smoke and mirrors. So that played well. So look at it happening soon. It could be happening.
Hold on, man. What'd you think about, while we're talking about debuts, what'd you think about Jeff Hardy dancing down the aisle to come to help Matt when he was getting his ass kicked on AEW? He danced down the aisle, like on a run-in. So, like, man, you know, the setup, boom.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Whatever faction Matt Hardy, the LCHFO, they turned on Matt Hardy, right? And Sting and Darby Allin came down to help Matt Hardy. Of course, they're outnumbered. They beat up Sting. They beat up Darby Allin. They're still beating up at Matt Hardy. And then, boom, Jeff Hardy's original music, you know what I'm saying, where he's dancing, he's doing damn near like the whatever, he's damn near mimicking like Kid Rock's dance. If anybody's a fan of Kid Rock, that music kicks on. He shows up out the good guy curtain, right, and dances, not runs like my brother's injured, man. My brother's getting beat up. He dances down the aisle. Dude, it was insane. But, I encourage you, Brandon, go look that. Check that out, man, for sure.
Okay. I'll have to check it out. I don't have anything else. John, I'll let you wrap us.
I'm cool, man. We'll have to do a Walking Dead recap next week. We'll give you two weeks worth of Walking Dead recaps. Anybody's looking forward towards that, man. But, like, no, man, we had a great show today. We want to thank our sponsors, first and foremost, Mavericks Custom Motorsports, Wiseman Logistics, and Scott K. Nichols State Farm Insurance. How could we do this show without their support? Thank you to those three sponsors. Also want to say thank you to D-Cott. He is the number one caller on the Crossroads Sports show. Sorry, Reg, if you're listening. I know, Reg, you listen afterwards, but, man, sorry, Reg, if you listen. But, no, I'll just decide. I also want to say thanks to all the folks who chimed in on the Facebook Live, Justin Powell, my sister Kelly. I can tell her she's my sister, man. My sister Kelly, Tamika. We had a lot of folks kind of chime in today on the Facebook Live today, so thanks to those folks as well. Again, me and Brandon be back at it. We'll have more news and notes from the NBA next week. We'll have more news and notes from the tournament. You know what I'm saying? Get your brackets filled up today. Tonight's last day. Dude, I'm on. Anybody listening, man, join the Crossroads Sports Bracket Challenge. It's on Brandon Reeve created a bracket challenge. What's the name of the bracket? What's the name of the group, Brandon? For everybody that wants to participate.
Bracket Challenge. If you go to our Facebook page, it's on there, and I'll also be on the Twitter. I'll be on the Twitterverse again tonight. So last night to sign up for both.
Right. So do that. Do that expeditiously. Outside of that, like I said, we'll be back next week, bigger, better than ever. Rest in peace, Scott Hall. Thanks for everything, man, and thanks to everybody for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show. You can find more episodes on iTunes and the Google Play Store. Be sure to like and subscribe for more Crossroads Sports content.